it's so difficult to come back. And sometimes it takes to me the whole night, maybe 2 days sometimes, to come back to the reality.
Erstklassisch mit Mischke, der musikalische Podcast des Hamburger Abendblatts.
Schönen guten Tag zu einer neuen Folge. Wer Sie engagiert, bekommt keine Stimmbesitzerin, sondern ein kleines Gesamtkunstwerk, hat der Münchner Merkur mal über Sie geschrieben, als sie dort die Angelika in Puccinis Tritico gesungen hat. Jetzt hat die Staatsoper Sie, dieses Gesamtkunstwerk zu bieten in der Titelrolle von Donizettis Maria Stuarda. Das inszeniert gerade, wenn wir sprechen, Karin Bayer, die Schauspielhausintendantin. Die Proben laufen noch in diesen Tagen. Mein Gast stammt aus Albanien und wollte eigentlich wie viele Mädchen Popstar werden. Das hat nicht ganz geklappt. Eine Traviata in Tirana auf Albanisch hat das lebenslänglich geändert. Das war ihr erster Opernbesuch überhaupt und sie hat damals offenbar ihrem Bruder gesagt, ich werde Opernsängerin und wenn ich diese Oper nicht wenigstens einmal in meinem Leben singen kann, dann sterbe ich. Beides hat geklappt, also das Sterben nicht, aber alles andere. Sie hat die Rolle schon ungefähr 300 Mal gesungen. Die New York Times nennt sie gern Layaho. Ihr ganzer Name ist Ermone Layaho. Und ich versuche es jetzt mal auf sowas, was albanisch sein könnte. Tjeta dite temire. I don't know whether that's right or wrong or completely bullshit. What's that Albanian?
No, dite temire. Yes, it's Albanian. It means a good day. Let's say,
You're very friendly.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me. Und übrigens, falls Sie jetzt schon neugierig geworden sind, wer in diesem Podcast schon zu Gast war und von sich und von seinem Job erzählt hat, Sie finden Erstklassisch mit Mischke auf abendblatt.de und auf allen anderen guten Podcast-Adressen. Und so 5 Sterne aufwärts wäre schön als Bewertung. Das freut uns und hilft uns. Aber jetzt fangen wir mal an. Mein Albanisch ist nicht vorhanden, also werden wir auf Englisch sprechen, aber das kriegen wir bestimmt hin. So, the first tough question. I found a quote that you said once, the bigger the dream, the bigger the sacrifices. So I have to ask, what was your dream and what did you have to sacrifice for that?
My dream, it was to become the artist that I became today. But when you start the dream when you are 14 years old, 15 years old, you know, as a teenager, you know, we don't have, everything is possible because we go for that and we don't think about what is coming behind. So the sacrifice is, of course, leaving my country. It was really difficult because, as you know, Albania, it was for almost 50 years, 45, 50 years under communism. So it was so isolated. And I lived to the last years of communism, but I've seen the sacrifices of my family, of the whole country. And then somehow the mentality, it was completely different, you know, to change radically, you know, the way how I lived in Albania to go out of Albania. And and I left my country I went to Italy with big dreams, but the sacrifices were being away from family without money. And it was everything, you know, just this dream in my mind. And the sacrifices, yes, you have to be alone. You have to work hard to prove yourself that you are worth it. Because in that time, Joachim, 93, when I left Albania, the Albania for the whole world, it was, you know, that the persons that they came with as refugees, and not everyone knew about Albania. And in somehow I had to pay for the, you know, for those, if I would say that in a simple way, that negative examples, you know, that certain Albanians had, you know, around the world, you know, as you know, all the all those bad examples. And when I said I'm coming from Albania, and for the world, it was the Albania of the people that they were into the drugs, into the all the bad, that kind of bad life. So to win that kind of mentality, it was so hard for me to be, you know, a teenager, a girl, 18 years old with these big dreams. But so I started to work as a babysitter or a lady cleaning the houses, you know. And it was harsh because I didn't have money even to pay a ticket to go to have an audition. So it was hard. And somehow the time tested my dream. It tested my dream. So I had moments that I thought.
And your father, as I've read that your father was in the military. So I don't know what was the situation. Was it even tougher because you weren't allowed to leave the country because your father was part of the system and he got into trouble? Or what was that like?
No, because it was after the communism, what everything changed. It was the transition in Albania when Enver Hoxha died. And I think 93, it was everything, it was changed. My father, he worked in military. But when everything changed, my father he retired because, you know, all the people, they worked in that system, you know, they were, you know, completely out of the of the new system, if I would say that. So no, but I won. Actually, I left my country in 93, but my story, it was a little different because in that period, the Albania was opened, you know, started to be to open towards the world. So it was before me, the generations before me, they were completely forbidden to go out to the Albania. But 93, it was better. The Albania started to open to the world. So I won a competition. Katja Ricciarelli, the famous opera singer in the past, she came to Albania. And I was chosen from her, one of the students that she picked, you know, to have this master class or the academy, summer academy in Italy. So I started like that. And I left my country without money, just with my dream. So to face the world, the situation outside Albania, it wasn't so beautiful like I imagined, because when we are close, we think everything out of Albania, out of our country, it was paradise, but it wasn't like that. So, and like everyone, you know, when you start the first steps, that's the sacrifice that I was talking about. And being so close to being Mediterranean, if you know, or especially Balkan, you know, countries, we are so close to our families. And suddenly I left my country, and I didn't expect that it was so radically, you know, that cut with my family. And it was so difficult to be away from the mentality, from my family, from your roots. And those difficulties, those times, they tested my dream. I had moments that I wanted just to let it go or to quit because it felt so difficult. But it was my passion. I think maybe the singing, it was the freedom of my soul in somehow. And I continued. And I think those difficulties, those sacrifices made and shaped my soul to be an artist, because all the operas, all the theater, it's about the human feelings in extreme. So universal human feelings, like the sacrifices, suffering, you know, everything in extreme. And I think they fitted perfectly, you know, with me, and they gave me the that archive of emotion that I could channel them, you know, during my singing. And it became that kind of sufferance, the weakest, let's say, point became my strongest one.
So the stupid sentence is true: no pain, no gain.
Bravo, exactly. No pain, no gain. For even for the dream, always when we dream, because we have to start from somewhere. And the dream, it feels so beautifully to go in the dimension. Everything is going to be like this and like that. I was dreaming to become an opera singer. And I saw the first time Traviata in Albania, and I was 14, and I decided now I'll become an opera singer, and I'm not going to die without singing Traviata once in my life. But after the story now, that journey, that this moment that we are talking together, I've sung Traviata 320 times, and I'm so proud. I made it. It was really difficult, but I made it, because when you want something, you know, desperately, it's something that it's part of you. Or like everyone, I found myself channeling my feelings in singing, someone in writing, someone else in other things, you know. And yeah, no pain, no gain. And I think those emotions shaped and built the soul of an artist that I became today. So yeah.
So was there a special moment when you found out, okay, I sing okay, but now I'm actually an opera singer? Was there one performance, one evening, one song, whatever, when you thought, okay, this is it, it's really true, I have to be an opera singer? Or was it not like that? Because I think maybe the first performance was the one to get you hooked. I don't know.
The first performance, first one, it was when I saw Traviata in Albania.
Yeah, but performance of yourself. I mean, when you were self.
Myself, you're right. My first performance, but I started when I was a child. I've been on stage, with the kids. I was singing. And for me, the stage, it was something special. For the opera, actually, yes, I started in Albania. In Albania, yes, because I've sung some operetta. I started with Traviata there. It was in a concert form, Traviata in Albania. And I liked that sensation. Still, they were little first steps. But I loved that sensation. And it became more and more and more every time I went on stage. When I went to Italy, the concerts, the La Bohème that I've sung the first time in Italy, or when I won the first competition in Milan, I've sung Amico Fritz Mascagni. But every time, even now, Joaquin, every time I'm on stage or every time I rehearse, something so magic, something I cannot explain that to you. It convinces me that I made the right choice. But every time I was on stage, it felt like, I don't want to be presumptuous saying that I belonged on stage, but I don't know. I felt that kind of freedom that I could. I felt home, if I would say that. I felt home. It was something, things that I couldn't say that louder, or because, the society, it was there, it's today. We are so judgmental, and the staging somehow became like a therapy, like that nest that I could scream. I could say everything and not be judged as Ermonella, but judged for the character that I was singing. So it became that kind of, I don't want to say the comfortable zone, but for my soul, it was something so special. And it's still today, it is like that. So,
Is there anything left for you to be afraid of? Because you've died so many times on stage, I think there's no fear left. You, at least, even as Violetta in Traviata, you've died 320 times, and then you die in all the other operas as well. So nothing to be afraid of anymore.
No, and it's interesting, Joaquin, because more I repeat that, more especially with age now, with my experience as an artist and as a human being, I understand more, the vulnerability of life itself. And then somehow you appreciate those moments, those little moments. I'm not afraid. Sometimes it feels a little weird if I have to do something, in some operas like Rondine, or operas that no one dies at the end, because it became so natural. But it's part of life, that as well, because in that way you understand afterwards, you appreciate even the little things, the simple things of in life. So in somehow it became not just a profession for me, but it became my therapy, my catharsis. And I feel so comfortable. And so I can go more and more. Sometimes I'm telling to myself, like in Traviata, or Angelic, or Madame Butterfly, and so go on. It feels like, oh my God, I can give more than that. Just, I have to die for sure on stage. The dream of every singer, just, to die on stage and to live this life in, dreaming, let's say. Yeah.
But is this the most fun part? Maybe this is a silly question, but is this the most fun part of being on stage in an opera, to die at the end? Because that's the most extreme and intense thing you can do on a stage. And maybe, I don't know, maybe you look ahead every time you sing Traviata, oh, I can't wait to die, because that's the best part of my part at all. All the rest is okay, but dying is the greatest thing.
No, because it's the conclusion. At the end, you know, it's the conclusion of our lives and the life of Traviata, life of Cho Cho San, of Butterfly. But not because it's so fun. It's not about that. But it's the whole journey. You know, you see everyone. Because in this opera, I still love in an unconditional way. We all want to be loved and to live the unconditional love, which sometimes it's so, you know, ethereal or so impossible, but we are lucky to live that on stage. So somehow, yeah, but I have to feel that kind of emotion. It's not only about the death. It's not the death. It's more, you know, what is beyond that. Mm-hmm. It's more like it's like a catharsis. It's something that you die and reborn over and over and over and over again, and it impacts you as a human being because we understand the little things. How important is to love each other? How important to love beautiful, you know, simple things. And because only in that way we connect the human being, we connect, you know, through the pain, through the joy, why not? But we learn from pain and we understand through this role, so extreme, let's say, we understand, you know, the precious, the beauty and the vulnerability of life because no one is going to live forever. So in somehow, it becomes your therapy or catharsis. And not because I'm waiting for her, for the characters to die at the end, but it's the whole journey. And somehow, maybe it's going to sound silly or stupid and crazy. In somehow, I prepared myself. So anything can come right now. Even to leave this world, it's not going to be a surprise, you know. Mm-hmm. And you accept life like it is, you know. And maybe tomorrow or next time when we'll have this conversation together, maybe I'm going to say something else. But at the moment, it feels like that, yeah.
Okay. I found a quote in the New York Times. You said that after a performance, you feel completely empty. You gave everything. I don't even want to come on stage for the applause. I want to leave. I'm shattered. Is that the worst possible feeling or the best possible feeling for an opera singer to be completely done, empty, burned out, vanished? What's it like then leaving the stage, getting back into your room? How long does it take for you to be yourself again? I don't know. Maybe it's just like and you're back to normal, or it takes you an hour or 3 hours or the night. I have no idea.
It's an interesting question. I cannot say if it's the best thing or worst thing to feel in that moment, but you feel complete. I have those moments giving so much because now I think like it's my first and last show of my life when I go on stage. And when you give so much at the end, it feels like, I don't know, it's the sensation. Yes, giving totally, and it's that kind of emptiness. It feels so, it's so difficult to come back. And sometimes it takes to me the whole night, maybe 2 days sometimes, to come back to the reality. And I have those moments that I say, okay, why I don't die on stage and just leave this world, living my dream. Other moments when you go back, you think, oh, okay, there are other things to discover. So it's a weird, strange sensation. It takes a long time to come back, Joaquin. But not every performance is like that. It happens when it's magic, when you have, which doesn't happen so often, you have colleagues that they are not thinking only about the note, the technique, the voice. They are the tools to express the feelings, the emotion that we are giving to the public, okay? And sometimes when you have the conductor, which, you know, together we're putting those kind of emotion, it becomes, you know, those powerful forces from energies from everyone and reproduces that kind of magic on stage. And when you have those moments, it's something that, I don't know, it brings you, I cannot, express that, you know, I cannot make justice with the words, but it brings you another dimension. It feels like you feel so like a leaf, like you are flying and you don't feel anymore the ground. It feels mm-hmm. like the soul is flying. It's beautiful, absolutely. But to come back, oh yeah. But the problem is problem. Coming back, it's a little hard, and it takes time. It takes mm-hmm. time because you cannot switch like that. Because otherwise, it means that I'm a psychopath, which I'm not. But it takes time. It takes time, and you go back and back and back and yeah.
Okay, so
and if I don't feel sometimes, that's why now in this moment of, yeah, please.
Okay, so one of these maybe silly questions, but since one of your trademarks is not singing really loud, but getting the audience by intense, soft singing, what is actually harder, singing loud or singing soft? This is a technical question, but an emotional question as well, because you can overwhelm the audience by shouting and getting into the last corner of the hall, or you can just be silent as possible and get them towards you. But I don't know what's easier for you.
Easier depends which character are you singing. Okay, if let's have an example. If I have the Traviata or Suor Angelica, yes, you have the explosion when she's desperate and she's asking, you know, help from the God to bring her to meet her child because she committed a suicide, and of course I can scream, I can be loud because it's the emotion, you know, asks about that. And you have that kind of suffering still, it remains in the character, the tears of her soul crying for her child, and it's written, so they are different. So it's not I want it to be, I try to use the technique. I'm not saying it's the harder or easier to do, but as far as I express that kind of emotion, yes, you're absolutely right. When you have the explosion, of course I scream as well, but you have the other, like single, sometimes it's like in life, we want to be heard, but sometimes it's something that you want that for yourself. Of course, we have the public, and there it comes the soft singing, but it's the soul, like, you know, the sound of the soul, I call it, because we have to find the imagination to give that kind of emotion. And both of them are, you know, as far as they give the emotion. Technically, I'm working today, technically speaking, because the technique gives to me the tools how to express the emotion, you know, because it's not just singing louder or soft. They are emotion, louder emotions, you know, the explosion, and the intern, really inside emotion. So, and we can say that in technical, you know, expression, louder or soft, but they are both different emotions to. And for me, yes, as far as I'm believable, they are true. So I cannot say it's more difficult this or the other one, as far okay. as they are believable and they reach the public.
Okay. You're a regular guest at the Met in New York. You're singing in London all the time, more or less. So you are more often, I guess, in more traditional productions. And now you're working with Karin Bayer as a director here. She's leading a big theater here in Hamburg, and she is a director of the more or less, I don't know whether you know the term, Regietheater, whether you heard this. So the special European or even more German version of doing things differently on stage in an opera or in theater. What was it like to work what is it like to work with her now? Because you're still in the rehearsals, and is it complicated because you're used to something else, to lush costumes and castles and whatever? And now, I have no idea how the stage looks. I have no idea how the production is. But what's the work with someone from this school that thinks so different than the directors at the Met or at Covent Garden?
I love very much to work with Karin. It's the first time working with her. And really, she's someone that comes from the theater, which I love it. I love it, especially it's so difficult working when you do this kind of opera, the bel canto, because it's the repetition, the agility, the cabaletta aria repeating and repeating. And sometimes we've seen the certain production just staying there, standing, and you sing all the and with Karin, because with Karin it's fantastic, because coming from theater and the subject, we are talking about Maria Stuarda. And it's an historic figure who changed still we are talking today about. And it's very important to bring that power of theater on stage. Doesn't matter. Yes, it's singing. As I told you before, we have through the singing, we need the sound, we need the technique, but you know, to give those emotion, because we cannot just sing in the notes when we are talking about the life of this queen. And the confrontation that I have, it's so strong. The words are the great violence. And you cannot stay here like this and just singing the notes. And with Karin, I love her because we are thinking the piece of theater.
Mm-hmm.
And it's fantastic. It's between between, you know, classic and not, you know, tradition and not, but it's a piece of theater. And the way how she's working, I love it, because I'm discovering maybe at this stage of my career, I'm looking more for more emotion, because I died so many times for 32 years, and I need something, you know, different now. And in this bel canto opera with Karin, it's fantastic, because every breath, every pausa, every word, every movement has a meaning. And it's something that I've sung Maria Stuarda in the past twice in a really traditional stage. But with Karin, I love it, because we are working together and we are going to the guts of the story. So the music is so, yeah, bel canto, so soft sometimes, but the words are so strong. So we are trying to give that kind of tragedy, because it's a tragedy the way when Maria Stuarda, she's going to be executed, you know, and the confrontation with Queen Elizabeth. So it's a piece of theater and working of caring. And sometimes I don't think that she's coming from the theater, or she never, I don't know how many opera she staged already, but the sense of the theater and her sensibility, it's a great pleasure to work with. And still we are in process, you know, work, and we work is in progress, work right now. But let's hope that we'll make it, you know, to reach that kind of intensity. We want to leave the public, oh, like, you know, really, is she dying? Is she doing this? Are they killing each other? So we are going towards that. Hopefully it'll be okay with the orchestra, with the singing. And yeah, but sometimes even to compromise a little bit the singing, it's good. It's good because you are more believable, because it's a rhythm, screaming. Sometimes the singers are afraid to scream because, oh my God, the voice. But the screaming, crying, or singing soft, they are colors, like in life, you know, as we are talking now. Otherwise, it's going to be, okay, they're not beautiful, not, but after 10 minutes, even the public will say, okay, I got you. You sing beautifully, but I need something more. And the story is incredible story. Historically speaking, everyone wrote about Mary Stuart. So we have the material there. And it's beautiful, and I'm so grateful to have to be part of this production. We have a lot of time to go deep and to go, you know, to discover every single word, every single note, and yeah, and it's going to be hopefully really we are going to make it to give that kind of drama, that kind of wow explosion on stage. And Karin, she's fantastic. I like her. I love her. And sometimes it's good to have a stage director coming from the theater. It's very good because, as I'm telling you, sometimes it's nice to stay. Okay, but now the theater, because we have this competition with the musical, with the movie, and the opera has to be at the same level. ABBA are actually stronger because we have it's a live performance. We have the stage, we have the orchestra, so it has to be more powerful. And to have that, really, you have to let it go without thinking, okay, why not? It's going to go out. Who cares? She's angry. So to be angry, we are not angry with beautiful voice. We scream. That's to be believable, as far as it's believable, of course, because we can do everything. But if we are ridiculous, the public is going to, yeah.
And now you're completely spoiled for these park and bark productions where you just have a sign on the stage, you stand there for an hour and sing, and then you go to another sign and then the opera is over. That's, you're completely spoiled now because you've seen something else.
Sorry, I didn't understand the...
No, you're completely spoiled for park and bark productions where you just stand on a spot and sing until you're done, because that's really boring now after experiencing something like this.
Yeah, more than boring. It's the opera today is different because, as I told you, now we have to be, for example, okay, let's take one, Madama Butterfly or Traviata or even Bohème. Okay, Bohème, Mimi at the end, she dies because she's sick. You cannot stand there and say, I'm sick, I'm dying with Traviata. Really, it's a theater. Sometimes the singers, the artists, because of the insecurity of the technical things, and we become a little more static. No, it's opera. It's opera. So I prefer, I've done I've worked with Zeffirelli as well. I worked with people really, really traditional, which they're beautiful because they have their beauty, okay? The costume and everything. But to be more theatrical, I like it. It's challenging and I love it more now because maybe so for such a long time, I went, you know, I was this queen without moving too much, being really, but now maybe I understand more, we know more, and professionally speaking, as a human being as well, after such many, many years, you know, you want to discover a little bit more, because that's the connection that you have with the public, yeah.
What would you say to someone who says to you, opera, I don't understand the story, this is elitist stuff, this music is, it's too long, the music is from the museum, why should I go there? What does this have to do with my life?
Exactly. This is the reason why. Because it's our duty as artists, and I'm talking not about myself, but the whole machine, let's say, the stage director, the conductor, the everyone, we have to bring it to life. Because at the end, we are talking about power, about love, about death, about passion. It was there in that time, but today we have the same thing, the power, the fight of who's the most powerful. The world is changing today because of those things, those feelings, let's say, that kind of feelings. So in the opera, we have the same. We have to make it believable. It cannot be for elite. But depends very much how we bring the opera on stage. If we stay like we stand, we don't say anything, just singing the note and the words, of course, no one want to go there. Even myself, I don't want to go to see an opera like that. You know, so no, I would say that they have to go to the opera, and it comes, you know, it's important that the opera houses, they have to have the productions, you know, to be meaningful and to highlight those human feelings, emphasize the universal, that doesn't matter. It was 500 or years ago. Still, the humanity is today. Still, we are talking about those feelings, but depends how we bring that. We have to be believable. Now everything became so, I'm not saying superficial, maybe a little bit, and with the artificial intelligence, yes, it can help in every other things, but not in the culture, not in the art, because the human soul, the human voice never, ever can be replaced. Of course, it's going to help in medicine, in other fields, but in artificial intelligence, maybe because I want to convince myself about that, I don't know. But the humanity, we need to connect because of our emotion, our guts. We need to cry, we need to smile together, but it depends how we artists, we can expose that and to give that to the public. So it's not old. If it's old, because it's our fault. Mm-hmm. Never is going to be old, because life show, it's that form of art, sublime, because you have the costume, you have the orchestra, you have the dance, you have the lighting. So it's the whole art in all of these fields. They are together in opera, and opera is so powerful. But I'm repeating, depends how we bring this or this form art on stage. If we bring that like an old, of course, no one, even myself, I'm telling you the truth. Even myself, I'm not interested to go to see that. Mm-hmm. I want to be moved. Mm-hmm. I want to be like, oh, whoa, what happened? But you have to have courage to do that. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Speaking of operas, what is, apart from Traviata, of course, and the one you're working on right now, Maria Stuarda, what is the best opera in your mind to get completely hooked as a first visit? So the one opera you think, if you ever want to start with opera and fall in love, this is the one to go to?
For me, it was Traviata, mm-hmm. I think. If we are talking about the young singers, maybe, or the people they want to get hooked immediately, Bohème, it speaks to everyone, mm-hmm. I think. Yeah, because they are a little to start with. Because the other operas, as far as I know, they are a little more. They take a little more time to get into that, because a little more drama. Sometimes you need a little more preparation, emotionally speaking. But for me, it was Traviata. In the beginning, I didn't understand so much about Traviata, but I was, I don't know. It was maybe I was ready for that, or I don't know. But Bohème, I think Bohème, because okay. It's not so long. So it speaks about every so young souls, young people. Yeah, Bohème, I would say.
Just a few days ago, I saw the movie Maria with Angelina Jolie as Maria Callas. And I thought, while watching this and afterwards writing about it, I thought this should have been an ideal role for you as an actress, as a singer. Did you see the movie?
I've seen the movie, and thank you very much for thinking of me. Yes, I've seen the movie, and you're absolutely right. I'm not talking about myself, but it could have been someone really in the opera to understand better certain Maria's life, I would say.
What's your opinion of this movie? And I mean, if you had the part, the singing would have been okay. Now it's not okay. but what is your opinion about this movie? And I wondered even whether you were able to watch this movie, because maybe you might have been too afraid to see and to hear a singer that has lost her core, because that's what you see when you see these last days of Maria Callas, the last week. Then you see someone who has lost what she really is.
It will come, that moment, for everyone, Joaquin, because we are not going to be forever there. Top shape. Everything is going to be there. You go on stage. It will come, that moment. And yes, it's so cruel, so dramatic. Because you lose your life, you lose your core. And but this is life. And that sufferance, you know, built the artist that Callas still today. Still we are talking about her. Yes, it's dramatic. It's so painful. But this is life. So it will come, that moment, for everyone. So I had that moment like that. I had in something personal that I was having struggle, personal problems, let's say. And somehow I remember I went on stage. It was Traviata in Japan with Royal Opera House. And something that I wasn't concentrate on my voice. I was concentrating in my pain, in my what I was going through. And on the stage, suddenly I couldn't sing, Joaquin. It was Oh my God, it was like my life, it was over, you know, and it's so painful. I've been there only in that moment. And after that, I took a pause and just to, you know, to get rid of my problems. And I went back because it was more an emotional, personal issue. And yeah, it's horrible. It's really so dramatic. It's a tragedy for a singer to have that that moment. And I understand how she could have been, you know, lived in that moment, feel, because you feel like when you are famous, everyone is close to you. When you are someone, everyone wants a piece of you to be. And suddenly, when you cannot deliver anymore, it feels like no one thinks about you. And I think it was a lesson as well, because we are not eternal. So everyone is replaceable. And that's why that movie, I think, Maria's life, it's a lesson for everyone that at the moment that we have this gift, the opportunity to deliver, we have to enjoy it until the last breath, let's say. Because tomorrow someone else will come, someone else will be younger, better, everything is going to be different. So, yeah, it was painful to see that movie, because at the end she gave her life to her profession, and at the end, when the voice didn't answer, didn't respond anymore, she was dead.
And I thought this might have been a sort of horror movie for you. And on the other hand, I thought it might have been like in My Fair Lady, everything you sing, I can sing better.
But I don't know. So it's different. You know, everyone has we all have our story, our life. And it's different. It's not easy. It's like for everyone. Life is not easy. So that's why it's better to enjoy it and to find the positive side, because everything can finish anytime. Anytime can finish. So let's enjoy it every moment. But her life, it was a sad life. So, yeah. Hmm.
Na sowas. Musikerinnen und Musiker sind auch nur Menschen.
I have a few short questions. What was your biggest professional defeat? Did you ever try really hard to get a role in a production and then someone came and crossed your way and just snatched it away? Was there anything that you really, 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 really wanted and it didn't work out? Or was everything smooth after a certain point of being successful?
Everything, it was smooth, I would say, but I worked hard for that. I worked 10 times more than I should, but because I wanted it desperately. I worked hard. So far, never happens that someone can, you know, took something away from me. But I worked hard for that moment, always. So I would say smooth, but with a hard work behind, you know, on my shoulder.
But you would never let anybody take anything away from you. That sounds like that.
So far, no. But I recognize when someone did that better, I had the courage and the honesty, then the humbleness to go to say, brava, beautiful, so this belongs to you. Mm-hmm. So when I had those moments, but in the production that I've sung, when I had the role, I sung it until the end. So yeah, but when I recognize someone is better, absolutely. It's okay.
Can sopranos be friends?
Yes, absolutely. But absolutely. Only if, for me, yeah. For me, yes, because everyone is different. And you understand, we understand each other, two sopranos, which is so rare to be friends. You are absolutely right. But for me, we understand better each other, the struggle, how difficult it is to sing this the role. And of course, you want to be in front, to be best or to be better than the other one. But it's the work that you do. Professionally, in private, on the work that you do with yourself. But of course, can be. I have many sopranos. They are really best friends. They are really good friends of mine. So for me, yes, because everyone has their own destiny. Mm. So, and everyone, we are so unique. Everyone can give something different. So yeah, for me, the sopranos, they can be the friend. But it's a but has to be from the both side, you know, because I want to be the friend of you as a soprano, but you don't want to be my friend. So, but the two soprans, they can be friends. Absolutely.
Okay. Is there anything that you can learn from being an opera singer for your own life? What is the most important lesson of being an opera singer? I don't suppose that you get a better person because of singing opera, but maybe you do.
Yeah. That's a good question. What I've learned for myself, I've been so harsh on myself always. I'm so moved from this question, Joaquin, because it was, as I told you, it was my freedom. But at the same time, a lot of solitude, a loneliness, because never I was happy with myself. Always I wanted to prove, not only to the other people, to myself. Now I don't have expectations anymore, but I worked so hard and somehow I have to apologize with the younger Monella. So to have a little more balance with the life of every day, and at the end, this profession is not going to be forever. So what do you have afterwards? So you need other things beside the stage, you know? And that's the lesson, working. I worked hard, I understand that, and I sacrificed a lot. But yes, the only lesson I would say is I wanted to be a little nicer with the younger Monella. When I think about that, it moves to me because I was so away from my family, away from everyone, away just to... But everything has a price. So it was, yeah, the only thing that I could, the lesson, just to be a little more nice with the younger Monella. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Fünf Fragen, fünf Antworten. Kurz und knapp und gar nicht einfach.
You can just pick one of the answers possible.
Okay.
Piano or forte?
Piano.
Your favorite instrument and your own, the voice doesn't count.
You don't understand it?
Your favorite instrument. What's your favorite instrument? And you can't mention your own voice. Anything else but your voice.
Okay. Violin.
Okay. Uh-huh. Do you have any idea what you did with your first professional fee, the first money you earned after getting on stage and singing?
This, I remember that, because I bought a dress for the opera, to go to the opera. Just I bought a dress to be a little more presentable because I was a student. So yeah, I mm-hmm. did for my first money. Yes, I bought something to go to the opera.
Okay. Beer or champagne?
I don't drink alcohol at all, but let's say champagne.
Okay. What's the most typical thing of a singer for you? If you were a tenor, you could always have the white scarf, but how could I all the time recognize that you're a singer?
Oh, God. No, just the score. For me, just the score is always with me. Only that.
Okay. And the last of these questions, is there a superpower you'd like to have?
Oh, the superpower that I would like to have. I want to bring my mother from to see me on stage, because she never saw me on stage.
Really?
Never. And that's the superpower that I would love to have, because she loved so much Madame Butterfly, and she told me that I'll come to see you only if you sing Madame Butterfly. But was so young, and for Madame Butterfly, I needed more time technically and everything, you know, because it's so demanding. And she died 1 year before I sang Madame Butterfly, and I pushed myself so much to cut to sing that before, and I sang it actually really early, but it was exactly 1 year after my mom died. So that is a superpower that I would love to have.
Mm-hmm. Okay. To wrap things up in a way, what would be the most important tip or information or help you would like to give to the 20-year-old Ermonela for her life? Now looking back from where you are now, what would be the one thing you would tell Ermonela when she was 20?
To be more relaxed, to be nicer with Ermonela. Yeah, to be nicer with herself. Just to be nicer with herself.
But you don't seem to me as someone who isn't nice to yourself.
Because I was so harsh on myself, Joachim. You know, as we started coming from Albania in that moment, and we I had art and culture in Albania. So don't get me wrong. Really, I learned English there. We were listening opera and everything in Albanian. So, but it was so hard when I left Albania, and it was the time that period that when I mentioned I'm coming from Albania, everyone I felt judged for everything, you know, and because in somehow I paid for. People that, so no country is perfect, but in somehow, you know, and I worked so hard. I was really harsh on Ermonela, younger man, really harsh, really, really harsh. But because of that discipline, I made it. But maybe that kind of nostalgia or that kind of sentimental thing or my little sadness, sacrifices, maybe, you know, it somehow made the artist that I became today. So in somehow it paid off. But I would have loved, you know, to live a little more, you know, my jeunesse, my young Ermonela to be a little more, you know, to live a little, to be like the other, my the people that of my age. But I had to work hard. So something, you know, even that's why I made it, because I worked hard. Otherwise, it could have been something, you know, okay, just a hobby. If you make it, okay. If you don't make it, that's okay. So, yeah, only that, to be a little, to love Ermonela a little bit more, let's say, nicer. Hmm.
Okay, and to end up on a positive and friendly note, are there any wishes or goals left for you? Because every part you would be perfect, and you've already sung and you're already singing. So what's left to come? I don't think that you think I need to sing in Bayreuth. That's something out of the question. But what's left? What's left as a goal?
Oh, I don't have dreams anymore, let's say, you know, because I didn't tell you. I'll be really quick. I kept a diary, Joachim, when I was in Albania. And writing what I wanted to become, where I wanted to sing the moment that I decided to become an opera singer. And the reality, it was something else, but what I wanted to become, it was written. And when I see that diary, that's a notebook, Joachim, I made it. And now I can say that I went further, more than I thought. So my dream, you know, I lived my dream. Now what I want to do, you know, just to give my experience, you know, and to show in somehow how it happened for me. I made it come from the difficulties and everything. If I made it, even the young generation singers, just to give, to show them that everything is possible. Even today, what everything that the world changed, the world became, is going mad, still you can make it. And to show them that there's a possibility, but you have to love it. It has to be something really so that you cannot live without that, without music, without singing. So maybe somehow I'm projecting myself when I was young in Albania, that I wanted that inspiration, someone to show to me, yes, this is the way. It's harsh, okay, you have to work hard, but you can make it. So that's why I started to work with young singers, and I love it. I love it. So, yeah, and somehow to give my experience that everything is possible. If I made it, everyone can make it. So maybe I'm too, yeah, I'm a dreamer. I don't know. I want to see that in a positive way, because we need culture. We need opera. We need music. Because only in this way we connect to each other. We understand the each other's souls, you know, especially in this world is going mad. Only the connection that we have with each other will keep us, you know, sane, still to smile in the morning. So, yeah, maybe I'm going mad as well, but still I believe in that, yeah.
Okay. I think we're done. I couldn't think of a better end. And thank you very much. Ich habe sehr viel gelernt. Ich habe zwar kein Albanisch gelernt, aber ich kann jetzt kaum noch erwarten, mir diese Opernproduktion anzuschauen. Also nochmal ein kleiner Hinweis. Maria Stuarda fängt jetzt demnächst an. Läuft vielleicht auch schon, wenn diese Folge draußen ist. Die Serie an der Staatsoper läuft bis zum 2. April. Und wenn Sie die Doku noch nicht gesehen haben sollten, es gibt einen Film mit Ermonela Yaho und Asmik Gregorian und Barbara Hennigan, Focus Sacro, das heilige Feuer. Großartige Dokumentation, sehr sehenswert, gibt es auf DVD. Gregorian und Hennigan waren auch schon hier im Podcast. Also es gibt da nochmal zwei Gründe mehr, um hier reinzuhören. Alle Folgen finden Sie im Archiv. Und erstklassisch mit Mischke, wie gesagt, auf abendblatt.de und wo Sie sonst Ihre Podcasts hier bekommen. Jetzt bin ich erstmal sehr gespannt auf die Premiere von Maria Stuarda und darauf, was dann so passiert auf der Bühne mit Ermonela Yaho. Und vielen Dank und viel Spaß bei der Oper hoffentlich. Und wir sehen uns. So, thank you very much. And I'm looking forward to see you at the opera. And
thank you.
Enjoy your rehearsals. And we're done. Thank you.
Thank you for having me. Thank you very much.
Ein Podcast von Funke.
Weitere Podcasts vom Hamburger Abendblatt finden Sie in unserer Abendblatt-Podcast-App und auf abendblatt.de/podcast.